This chapel message is brought to you by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations.
I want to talk about yokes. Yokes are mentioned in the Bible a bunch of different places, and there's different ways to approach them, and I think they all have an application to us. So sin can be a yoke and bring yokes upon us. The Bible talks about this. It kind of analogy of a yoke as a burden, it's a bondage, it's an oppression, it's a repression. Often God using that heavy yoke to bring people back to their senses. If you go over to Jeremiah 27, you remember the story of Jeremiah actually doing an object lesson. He made a yoke and put it on his neck and wore it into Jerusalem, letting people know that God had put a yoke upon them. And they were going to be conquered by Babylon. Babylon was going to be in control. They were going to enslave them. And it was his punishment for their continual sin. In fact, he told them, if you don't submit to Babylon, it's even going to get worse. The yoke is going to be heavier and heavier. It says, I will punish with the sword, famine, and plague, declares the Lord, if the nation does not bow its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him. I will let that nation remain in his own land to till it and live here, declares the Lord. And he said, if you don't accept this yoke, I'll make it much worse than you even imagine, and bring even greater calamity, that they will take you back to their land and you may never come back. So God uses yokes for punishment, not only in countries, but with individuals. He wanted them to know that rebellion against Babylon was useless. Often, God puts us in bondage with a heavy yoke if we turn our back on him. He still does that because sin destroys. Some of that just happens, but some of it's God putting a bondage on someone for what they've done. We see it in marriages. We see it in dealing with children. I have a relative that's totally alienated from her kids, and it's a terrible yoke that the whole family's dealing with, the extended family's dealing with, the anger and the bitterness, going back to when their child was in high school, and she's never gotten over it, that yoke that she's bearing and the anger that she has. It can destroy friendships. Sin does that. It can bring financial ruin. It can bring illnesses on. Our mental state and things we do affect our bodies. People that have drug addictions, alcohol addictions, sex addictions, you name the addiction, transgenderism, you name the sin, and it has consequences. Sometimes it even results in suicide. It may feel like you've got some sort of burden. It feels like that. I don't know how those horses move, and I know they can't go downhill. That's going to turn over on them. That must be thousands and thousands of pounds of wood. But sometimes it can feel like that in our own lives. And you can be bearing a yoke, a burden, through no fault of your own. It may be a yoke that someone else has put on you. I remember in my residency, one of my best friends, David, had the same name as I had. And we got together all the time, ate at each other's house. They were expecting, we were expecting. Within a few weeks of each other, Cindy was Jody's best friend, David's wife. And 2 weeks before the baby was to be born, he told her he was having an affair with a nurse and was leaving her. And Cindy bore that burden. He did as well later in his life, things that happened that God put on him. But through no fault of her own that I know of, she had a terrible burden. The yokes can be heavy, and they can go on for a long period of time, and sometimes through no fault of our own. And sometimes it's a big thing, like what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's just a bunch of little things. That looks pretty light, except the thing can't see behind him, can hardly walk. But sometimes just little things. You ever been there? There's so much stuff going on, and this isn't really good, and that isn't good, and the kid's acting up, and all of a sudden you blow up because the yoke's got too heavy, and it just weighs you down, and many smaller things can have the same result. So yokes can bring problems. But there's good news over in 2 Corinthians 2:9. But he said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." God says for Christians, people that love him, he will not give you a yoke that is bigger than he can help you bear. That's good news. That's good news. God gives us yokes sometimes to drive us back to him. We've strayed. We've not got our focus where it needs to be. We're not spending time with him. Or for some people, it's just a rebellion and turn their back. I mentioned before a book that was printed up in Wilmore. It probably didn't have much circulation beyond there, but it was called 10 Who Returned. And it was the stories of 10 young men and women who were raised in Wilmore. Most of their parents were professors at either college or seminary, who turned their backs on Christ and went out and lived horrible lives, and bad things happened to them, from drug addictions to jail, you name it. Raised in great homes. I mean, I know many of these guys' parents, and job failure, divorces they had have, and even one of them had been successful, but he just talked about how all of that success was because he had turned his back on God. And God put this yoke on them and brought all 10 of them back, which is a miracle in itself in a small town. God can use yokes in our lives to strengthen our faith, to build our endurance, to teach us something we need to know. I was thinking about this. I don't know why. It's been many years since this happened. Some of you new staff don't know the early days of CMDA when I arrived, Gene arrived. But we were based down in Dallas, in Richardson, Texas, a suburb. And I got there in August 1st, and about 3 weeks later, we had a board meeting, except it wasn't the CMDA board, it was a board for our short-term mission group called Medical Group Missions. And it was down in Honduras, and I was supposed to be there. And I thought, this is weird, I've never been in an organization that had two boards. Doesn't sound like something that worked very well. Got on the plane, the guy that headed it up for us, Willie was his first name, came by and sat down beside me and said, hey, good to meet you, Dave, great, you know. Just let me know you something. You really have no control over us, MGM. A few minutes later, the chair of their board came up, sat down beside me. Dave, just want to let you know you really don't have any control over us. And to both of them, I said, well, I'm not sure about that. I mean, the board told me I was in charge of everything. And that's how it started. I reported that to the board. Said, I'll go down and talk to him. Willie lived down in the Dominican Republic. We had a large, it was as big as GO is now, Global Health Outreach. And it, you know, going 50 teams a year, 45, 50 teams a year. And I went down and met with him. I didn't know him very well. Spent 2 days in his home talking. And there was so much anger, so much angst towards CMDA between him and them and some of their leadership. When we had our first next board meeting, I recommended to the board we spin them off. I said, there's no way to put this back together. It's just feelings are too deep. They go back years. I've prayed with them. We've had discussions. They've made their mind up that they aren't going to be associated with CMDA. We need to let them go. And the board decided, no, they weren't going to do that. After some prayer and a lot of discussion, well, that's just the prefix. Then they decided they were going to create a reason to leave. And the reason to leave was Dave Stevens going to destroy our ministry. Now, as Gene had, you know, we've been in some rough situations and overseas in the midst of wars and famines and genocide and all sorts of stuff. It wasn't our first day out. But I had never had my reputation attacked, my integrity. That's what was happening. They had to have a reason to leave, so they went after me. Some of them contacted the board, tried to get me fired. And it was something new. I've never had that happen before. I've had tough situations, but nobody attacked my integrity. And as I thought about it and prayed about it, God just began speaking to me, and he said one day as I was reading the word, and Christ made himself of no reputation. That whole mess that we went through, and it It got worse, and we finally had to force them into mediation arbitration. They secretly incorporated, started siphoning all the money out of CMDS, it was called then. We were about to go bankrupt because they were telling people to cancel the trips, get a refund, send it to this new group, and took the mediation arbitration. We won the mediation, and I walked out with the president into the hallway and said, as I said in January, we need to let these people go. And we gave them everything. And God taught me another lesson, because after I did that, walk back in and say, we will give you the name, everything but the name. We'll give you the monies, all the restricted accounts, the hospital in the Dominican Republic, all the vehicles, all the everything that's associated with medical group missions you can have. We'll give you the mailing list. Couldn't give any more than that. And he turned to me and says, you can't give us anything. It all belongs to us, and stomped out. I went home, and Jody found me crying in the living room, tears down my face. She said, you okay? I said, I'd go through this whole thing again if I had to, because I understand God's grace in a way I never understood it before. I gave them everything I could, and they turned around and threw it in my face. And that's exactly what they did to Jesus. He couldn't have given more. I said, if I had to go through this again to understand grace, God can take these yokes. I consider that the hardest year of my life was that year, despite all the other things I've done. But God used it in my life in ways that I never imagined. And he does that with you and with us. When we put these things on him and spend time with him, if it drives us to our knees, if it draws us closer to him, then we need to let him do that. And then a yoke can be used as a testimony to others, can it? I'm reading a new book by Stan Key. Some of you may not know Stan Key. That's some problem you need to address. Stan is a wonderful preacher, preached for us many times in national meetings and conferences and stuff, and he's a great writer. And the book's called Cross Purposes, talking about really having a cruciform life, a life based on the cross. But in that, he tells the story of his wife. They were missionaries in France. He's much smarter than I am, better biblical scholar than I am, a wonderful preacher, and they failed in France. That's what he says. We failed in France. The whole church fell apart that they got going, and he uses that as an illustration. And the other illustration was, if you know Stan's story, Katie had a spot on her lung. They decided to do surgery. It turned out just to be a fungal infection. She probably didn't even need surgery, just needed medication. And after the procedure, threw a clot and is paralyzed on her right side. And that is a cross to bear. It's impacted Stan's ministry. He has to take care of her. They had to move closer to their children to help take care of Katie. Katie, his wife, was Jody's, my wife's roommate in college. But I'll tell you something. It's been a powerful testimony to so many people. Instead of bitterness or anger or all the other emotions you can have when something like that happens, Stan has just shown the love of Christ. Katie has. Jody Cox to her on the phone. God has used that. He uses suffering. He uses yokes to minister to other people in ways. Not that I would wish it on Stan or Katie, but God has not wasted it. Over in Isaiah 9:24, it's interesting. It's this verse you probably remember. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a life has dawned. You have shattered the yoke of sin that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppression. You really need to know the backstory on that verse. It's a prediction of Christ's coming. But if you go back to verse 1, it says this, but there shall be no gloom in her that was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into this contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time hath he made it glorious by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. What he is saying when he says this prophecy, is that this is going to happen in Galilee. Galilee had been invaded by a ruthless king called Tilgath-Pileser. You probably never heard of him. He conquered all of Babylon. He conquered all the Middle East. He took all of Israel. He made a vassal state out of southern Israel up in Galilee. They just decimated the land. And what God is saying, hey, you all in Galilee, because this area called Zebulun and Naphtha is actually where Galilee is. Hey, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. You're going to get Jesus. Jesus is going to come and minister where you live. And what a promise, not only to us with the Savior coming, but to these people who had been so oppressed, those who had lost family members, those who had lost their livelihoods, those who had lost family members, those that had been put into slavery. He's saying to them, I'm going to relieve your burden. I'm going to destroy this oppressor. I'm going to break the chains that bind you. And it didn't happen the next day, but God made a promise not only to them, but to us to do the same thing by sending us a Savior, and that's who he's talking about. It goes right on to say, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Whatever bad things has happened and yokes people have borne, God is just saying that he can redeem them. He can redeem them. And in our lives and the lives of others, I've heard a lot of chapel messages when I was in college, and well, one of them I've not forgotten, among some others I haven't forgotten, and it was when the president's son came back and spoke in chapel. He was a physician by that point, and Denny Kinlaw, his dad, Dr. Dennis Kinlaw, who spoke to us here at CMDA in years past, and Denny had gone off the deep end. He was one of those 10. And I'll never forget, he stood and he said, God can remove the nails of your sin, and he's done that in me, but some of the scars still remain. And that's very true. And what God is saying here in these verses is, yes, you may have some of those scars, but there is a brighter day coming when I return. You come to heaven, and it's all going to be gone. It's going to be all gone. You have the hope and insurance of God's rule. So let's talk about another yoke. The Bible talks about being unequally yoked. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteous and wickedness have in common, or that fellowship can light have with darkness? This is unequally yoked. Well, that was a great picture. You can't put an ox and a mule or a donkey together to plow. They're unequally yoked. One can pull a lot more than the other one can pull. And it's a great illustration that people back in biblical days would very much understand, because this is how they plowed. And Paul is talking in one sense about unequally yoked with unbelievers in marriage, and that's often how you hear that verse, and there's truth there. But it also applies to any environment where we let the world influence our thinking. Light and darkness. God doesn't like those together. When we are being conformed to this world and are not being transformed by the renewing of our minds, as it says in Romans 12:2, then we're being unequally yoked. And in our media-saturated day, this is something that's a danger for every single one of us, including me. Because what you watch, what you hear, what you read, who you spend your most time with can infiltrate your thinking and your soul and cause huge problems, because we're unequally yoked. That doesn't mean we're out there in the world and trying to make a difference, but it can happen in so many ways. You have a friend that's dragging you down in your spiritual walk because they don't know the Lord, or getting you to do things you know you really shouldn't be doing. Or you get into a business with someone, if you have a business. We have a great example of that, and it's one of the reasons that CMDA is in Bristol, because the Gregories had a company called General Injectable and Vaccines. And before John, the older brother, became a Christian, he went in with a doctor and a lawyer, and they started this distribution system. And that group, through John, had helped me when we were at Samaritan's Purse with medicines and supplies. John left the company. You know why? because he realized they were unequally yoked after he came to Christ. Their things were important to them, were not important to him. He wanted to be involved in ministry. They didn't want any of their money spent on that. He wanted to have chaplains. They didn't want him to have chaplains. He messed with that for a year or two and finally said, well, I'll sell my portion to you and we'll leave. And he came and started then called King Pharmaceuticals, which is the reason we moved here from Texas when they gave us space. But he left because of the unequal yokement. Interestingly enough, they promised to buy him out and they never gave him a penny, the two partners. But God blessed them because they had done the right thing. Matthew 11, 28, 30. Come unto me, all that you're weary and burdened. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Third yoke. We talked about the yoke of sinful behavior that can be put upon people that turn their back on God. We've talked about being unequally yoked. This is a different yoke. This is the yoke we all bear. It's the yoke we all bear every day as children of God. So what does he mean? A yoke gives you the ability to do work and serve the Lord in whatever that work is. If you don't put a yoke on an oxen, you can't really use him to plow. It takes the yoke, or can take the weight. It's work is an honorable thing. God has called us all to work. Work is not a burden. Work is a calling. No matter what you do here, what you do in your church, what you do in a home, it's work. And work is where we spend 50% or more of our time, and it's something that you can look at. I've got to endure. I've got to get through this. I just make it to retirement. If I could just find a higher-paying job, whatever you're thinking, it's if it's your work, it should be your calling. If it's your work, it should be your calling. And God has given you this to do. God made us for work. Ecclesiastes 5:18, it's good and proper for one to eat and drink and enjoy the good of all their labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. The yoke of work. And God's promised he's going to help us bear it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. You know, when you get overwhelmed with work, you ever been overwhelmed with work? Maybe you're overwhelmed with work right now. I can look back to times I felt like I was overburdened. But God said, you know, we work for money we need, for our family, for our marriages, for all those different things that we need it for. But you can take on too much a load and you get too weary, and sometimes you have to reassess your priorities and realize that you're the problem. Well, the work's the problem. I don't know how they got that thing down for there. But you probably feel like that sometime. And God's got some good news for you when it comes to work. He tells us we're not working alone. We're not working alone. He's there to carry the load and wants to help us pull it. I will refresh the weary and I will satisfy the faint. Even serving the Lord, you can overdo it. And God needs, you need to realize that God is there if you take all the burden on your side. He says, I will give you rest. And a yoke is designed to carry much more with less effort. Did you know that? That's why they put them on oxen and donkeys. If you don't have a yoke, they can't do much work. It distributes the load over the strongest area. You can see the yoke around his neck, and it comes right up to that hump on his back. He can put his whole chest to it and his legs, and he can do much more work than if you just put something on his back. He can pull a tremendous load, as we saw with the picture of logs. And secondly, he says, my yoke is easy. What's that mean? A yoke is constructed specifically for each animal. They fit them to them. They're tailor-made. In fact, if you put one on a young oxen, you'll have to make another one as they get older because it has to fit to distribute the load. And it's not designed properly and not made properly. They're going to get sores. They're going to get bruises. They're going to get scrapes. They're going to get tender areas. They'll refuse to pull because it hurts so much. And so one of the keys that God is saying to us is back to your calling. If God has called you to something, he's going to fit that yoke to you. It's not a matter of talents. It's a matter as God called you. I hope every one of you, God's called you here to CMDA, because that's what will get you through the tough spots. That's what will get you through the workload. And sometimes I know it can be heavy. And it lets you know you're doing the right thing. God is there helping you because he designed you for this. He doesn't ask you to do what he doesn't equip you to do. And sometimes people give you opportunities, more money, more status, more whatever. And the thing you got to do is say, I'm not saying this because I'm in charge anymore, okay? But you just got to say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? And I got asked to be a president of a Christian college. I prayed about it while I was CEO at CMDA. I thought, that's not my calling. That's not what I was designed for. I can do academics. I don't love academics. And, you know, God just made it very clear that's not what I should do. It would have been more money. It had been big status, president of a Christian university. But you've got to look back and say, God, what have you called me? What have you given me the experience to do, the training to do, the passion to do? And then you know your yoke is fitting. And then you got to take it. Take my yoke. That's free will. God gives us free will to make our decisions. And then it says, my burden is light. God, as we already insinuated, doesn't give you more than you can handle if you're following his call. And when they put yokes on a team of oxen, they actually design a harness to balance the load. And what Christ is saying to us is, when I call you, when I give you a yoke, I'm on the other side of the yoke when you pull. I am here to make your burden light. There's a thing called a whipple tree. This is an example of one for horses. You got three horses there, but you can see all that little things which balances the load. The guy, the draught animal on the right, is pulling twice as much as the two on the left. It can be a bigger Clydesdale versus smaller horses. But my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God says, I'm there to pull with you when things get heavy. And I'm walking with this with you. This picture, one oxen is pulling twice as much that the other two are. Matthew 11:28. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and we'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's a promise. It's a promise sometimes we need to claim and reclaim. And this last one, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And lastly, Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. If the devil can't get you to turn your back on God, you know what he'll do? He'll try to burn you out. He'll try to burn you out. That's why this lesson is so important. I don't know from past experience how much work there is to do in this place. I just want to encourage you. God is faithful. God is there. Cast your burden on him because he careth for you. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I really don't know who needs to hear this sermon this morning. Maybe just me. But I pray your Holy Spirit will apply it to those that need to hear it. We can so easily take the load on ourselves and stumble and be in pain and bruised. And you're saying, put that burden on me. I'm here. I love you. You're following me, and I'm here to help you make your burden light. Encourage the CMDA staff. May we all serve you the best we can. And Lord, what we can't control, we put into your hands, knowing that you could do things better than we ever could. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.